This week's parasha, we find a very, very, very interesting fight between Yaakov and the Sora Shel Esav. When Yaakov was afraid that Esav would kill him, he had a fight with the Sora Shel Esav and vanquished him, and he left from the fight injured to an extent. Now, after that, the Malach gives him a name, which is supposed to be a sign of victory. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Ches, V'yemi Elav Mashem Echo. The Malach said to Yaakov, "What's your name?" As if he never knew. Yeah, V'yemi Yaakov, and he said, "My name is Yaakov." So again, he wanted Yaakov to concentrate on what's happening here. V'yemen, and the Malach said, "Lo Yaakov Yomo Oitchemcho. Your name should not be said again, Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael. Your name should be Yisrael." Ki sorisa im Elohim, because you fought against a malach, v'im anoshim atuchal, and against people, and you won them over. Who's anoshim? Esav alovim, says Rashi, v'atuchal, and you won over them. Okay, so the pasuk says very clearly that Yaakov Avinu was called Yaakov beforehand, and then he was called Yisrael because he was ki sorisa im Elohim, v'im anoshim atuchal. He won over malachim, and he won over people. So that's the Malach's message to Yaakov. Later on in the parasha, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Yaakov, and it says in Perek Lamed Hey, Posuk Yud, the Posuk says, "Vayoyim Eloi Elikim," and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, this is following to the Posuk beforehand, and said the Kodesh Baruch Hu came there, appeared to him to give him a bracha, and Hashem said to him, "Shimcha Yaakov, your name Yaakov, lo yikore shimcha od Yaakov, your name should not be called Yaakov, ki im Yisrod Yeshemecho." Because the name should be Yisrael, very, very similar to the previous pasuk. But Yikra Eshemo Yisrael, and he called his name Yisrael. In this pasuk, it makes no mention why his name was Yisrael. It does not say beforehand, like I said before, Ki Sarisa Emelahim Emanoshim Atuchal. It does say the Kodesh Baruch Hu said your name should be Yaakov, Yisrael. Sorry, it does not say why. Okay. So the question obviously is, why does the Malach say the reason why, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not mention his reason why? Furthermore, if you carry the next pasuk, very strange. V'yoyim Eloi Elikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov Vinu, "Ani Kel Shakai, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pray Ruvei." This is obviously a tremendous bracha. Beef, very fruitful. Goy ukahal goyim yeh mimeko. A nation and a kahal goyim and a congregation of nations, yeh mimeko, should be from you. Now, what does it mean kahal goy ukahal goyim? You should be a nation. What's ukahal goyim? What is ukahal goyim? Says Rashi, kahal goyim is Menashe v'Ephraim. You can be from one will be split up. So goyim is referring to the goy is referring to Binyamin, i.e. the bracha was given to the children of Rachel, and goyim is Menashe v'Ephraim. And then the pasuk carries on. That's one pshat. Another pshat is goy ukahal goyim, says Rashi. She goyim asidim bonav li'oseis k'min nahagoyim. That the goyim asidim bonav liasos kamin goyim, children would be 70 like the min goyim, v'chein kol Sanhedrin, etc. Dova acher says Rashi she asidim bonav lahakriv b'shas isavomis. Your children will give korbanos, bring korbanos up to me at the time when it's also to bring korbanos on a bomber. Now, as you know, a bomber is a homemade altar mizbeach that is not in the place of Beis HaMikdash, and there's a certain times where Klal Yisrael were allowed to bring it, and certain times when they weren't allowed to bring it. So the pasuk over here, that kahal goyim means you're going to be like a whole bunch of you, like some even acting like goyim. What does that mean? Shel sidim bonav lahakri b'shas isabomis, that your children will offer up korbanos in a time where bonus becomes osa. Kegoyim b'mei Eliyahu, like the goyim acted in the time of Eliyahu. Now, everybody, let's get a context over here. It's like, Kodesh Baruch Hu giving Yaakov a bracha or a klala. The pasuk says, "Vayivorech oisa," and he gave him a bracha. And this is a bracha. You should be fruitful. You should have many, many children. You should be loads of people come out from you, and your children should do isurim. Yeah, they should start offering up korbanos in a time of isa bomis. What kind of bracha is that? What kind of hemshach is this? Completely out of context. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives that to Yaakov as a bracha. What's going on? So let's understand carefully what's going on over here. Now, this shir is very, very much based on a few shurim I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman. And the yesodos are very, very strong yesodos. First of all, we must identify with the Mochama that Yaakovino had over here with the Sorashal Esav. And Sorashal Esav is the malach that represents the whole evil, represents the Yetzer Hara, represents the Satan. That's Esav. Esav is the side of the dark side. And this was the malach, in other words, the Yetzer Hara. This is the Yetzer Hara. And Yaakov Avinu over here has a fight with this malach. He has a fight with this Yetzer Hara. And this fight represents a fight that Klal Yisrael have on a personal level, and each person to themselves, during the whole lifetime. And constantly, there's a fight between the Yid and the Yetzer Hara. And this fight is represented over here. And this fight, the Ramban says, was where the Malach said to Yaakov, what's your name? And Yaakov said, my name is Yaakov. So the Malach changed it in the end, after Yaakov won him, and he said, no, your name is Yisrael. What is his Yisrael over here? What did he change? Says the Ramban like this, Yaakov is a Loshon La'akov, to chase, to follow, right? Yaakov was constantly viewed by Esav and by other people who viewed what was going on over here as chasing Esav, taking what belongs to Esav. Bechira, he grabs onto his arm, grabs onto his leg. Yaakov, yeah, he held onto his eker, they held onto his to his foot when he's coming out. He's trying to get all the benefits Esav has, the brachos, the Bechira. Yaakov is constantly outmaneuvering Esav, chasing him to catch what's rightfully belonging to Esav, so it seems. When the Malach fought Yaakov face to face, and he saw that as a human being he has a power to overcome a Malach, he understood that this is not Yaakov being a Yaakov, just chasing Esav, something that he doesn't deserve. It is Yaakov who has actually made himself into Yisrael. What's Yisrael? Yisrael is the Loshon of Yashrus, of straight, of clean, of clear, right? So he says, what the Malach said to Yaakov is, don't think for yourself right now that what you're doing over here is in any way incorrect, in any way conniving, or just sort of taking what belongs to Esav. No, you rightfully own what you have. The Bechira belongs to you rightfully. The brachas belong to you rightfully. You deserve what you have. You're Yosha, you're straight. That's Yisrael. If a person, the Malach says, if you are able to win over me, means that everything you fought for, everything that you've taken, actually deserved all this time. And that is from the exchange from Yaakov to Yisrael. So that's the Ramban over here, the Ramban and Devorim. And that's what the Ramban says. Now, in other words, what we're saying over here is that Yaakov Avinu represents the fight between the Yisrael, the fight between the regular Jew and the Malach, that is something that is an ongoing basis. Says Rav Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yaakov Avinu later, and he said to Yaakov, forget about what the Malach said to you. The Malach changed your name for Yaakov to Yisrael, but I'm giving you a bracha for generations. I'm giving you a bracha that your children in the future, not in the past, in the future, should always be able to have the strength that you had to fight, number one, to fight Lavan and Esav, i.e. bad influences from the outside, and to fight your inner Yetzer Hara, to fight that. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, it's incorrect to talk about what Yaakov did, that he won over, because that's referring to Yaakov. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, later on in Perek Lamed Hei, is giving a bracha for the future, that your children will always have the power to fight over the Yetzer Hara, and if they have the correct intentions, and they work with the fight correctly, they will win. You understand? And therefore, don't talk about the past, talk about the future. So in other words, this Pasuk is telling us that this fight that Yaakov represented was not a fight that was a local fight that happened then. It is something that is ongoing, and with the right tools we can win over. And there's two riots, there's two proofs that this fight also represented a future fight that takes place every day of our lives. The Chasam Sofer says that we see in the Pasuk, after Yaakov Avinu fights with the Malach, the Pasuk says, in Perek Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayizrach Leah Shemesh. Kasha Oves Penuel Vuhutzulea Ali Rechui. And the sun shone when he passed Penuel, and he found that he was Tzulea Ali Rechui. In other words, he was injured on his Yerach. His Yerach is on his thigh. Says a Pasuk, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the next Pasuk. Al Kain, and therefore, Lo Yoichlu Bnei Yisrael is a Geda Noshe, Klai Yisrael is not either Geda Noshe, Asher Kafa Yerach Ad Hayoim Hazeh. Until today. Okay? Why? Kinoga Bekaf Yerach Yaakov Begeda Noshe, because he dislocated, as it were, the Yerach Yaakov with the Geda Noshe. Now, that's very nice, but if you look in the Shat Yisrach Le Hashemesh, Rashi explains, Loshem Bnei Odom, when he came to a place, and Medrash Hagada says, Yisrach Le Letzorchoi, Lerapois Es Tzlo Osoi. The sun shone and was healing Yaakov's limp. In other words, what happened over here? There was a struggle between Yaakov and the Malach. Okay? The Malach injured Yaakov. The Apostle doesn't talk about that. The Apostle talks about Yaakov being healed. And then the Apostle says, and therefore, Klal Yisrael should not eat from the Geda Noshe. Ask some Sefer, it would make more sense to say, before Yaakov was healed, that it's not even a Geda Noshe. Because the Apostle later on says, the reason why we don't even feel the Geda Noshe is because Yaakov got injured. So talk about in his state of injury, in his state of disrepair, that's why he can't even get a nosha. Not Yaakov was healed, and then you start talking about the injury Yaakov had and therefore not eating a good nosha from there. So Reb Chaim Kampf wanted to say like this. He said that if we would have brought this mitzvah after Yaakov Avinu was, before Yaakov Avinu was healed, then we would somehow connect the mitzvah to Yaakov Avinu's own fight. That the Geda Noshe only represents what happened to Yaakov. And because Yaakov was injured, therefore the mitzvah was given then. Yes? And therefore, it hasn't really got to do with us. Says Apostle Kno, Yaakov was healed. And therefore, Geda Noshe shouldn't really make sense right now. But I'm just telling you, every human being has an obligation to struggle with the Yitzhar, even if he gets injured. And to go and fight. And therefore, says the Pasuk, I'm giving you the mitzvah of Geda Noshe after Yaakov was healed, because that's a historic thing, that's nothing to do with then. I'm talking about this something for the future. And this is the only time in the Torah says that Hashem gives us a mitzvah, and it says, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. It doesn't say by Lulav, Hashem gives Ad Hayoim Hazeh, and here's Mitzrayim, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. It says in this particular mitzvah, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. There's many other reasons, but Pshat is, Ad Hayoim Hazeh is to tell us that don't think Yaakov Avinu was a historic fight and Geda Noshe applies to that. No, it applies to our own fight that takes place on a regular basis. Ad Hayoim Hazeh, until today. Yeah, until Yom Gimel, Parshas Chayisora, Tov Shin, Ayin Gimel, and will carry on forever and ever. That is what the Pasuk is telling us. Okay, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. So therefore, this was a fight that's ongoing. Now I want to focus on the fact. Sorry, just one more thought on this. Do you know the stipler's name?
Yaakov Yisrael.
Yeah, the stipler's name was called Yaakov Yisrael. Okay, so very appropriate. Yeah, so the stipler says like this. There's a Gemara that says in Brochus, the Gemara says in Brochus of Yud Gimel, Hakira la Avram Avram, la Avraham Avram, you learn this Gemara? Hakira la Avraham Avram oiva ba'ase. If a person calls somebody Avram Avinu, Avram, or calls, it's a question how to learn this piece of Gemara, but he calls somebody called him Avram instead of Avraham. Yeah? You're over an asay. Because the Pasuk says he changes name to Avram from Avram to Avram. You're over an asay. However, there are many, many instances where Yaakov is still called Yaakov even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his name to Yisrael. And it doesn't seem to be any Issa, you know, to be called up as Yaakov. Plenty of people called Yaakov and not Yisrael. Yeah? You know, you don't find people called Avram. You don't Korosh Moib Yisrael Avram. But plenty of people called Yaakov. So if a Kodesh Baruch Hu changed his name from Avram to Avram, and it's not over Basay, why is it that a Kodesh Baruch Hu changed Yaakov's name from Yaakov to Yisrael? Is it no Isasay? So the Stipler says in Birchus Peretz, he says, that Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avraham, added a hey, because only at that stage Avraham, the hey, Avram Avinu had made an extra malchus. He was mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king over five more Avarim than he was beforehand. There's 248 Avarim, 248 limbs. Yeah, to a person's, to a body. Beforehand, he was shoylet, he was in total control over 243. Now he was 248. The Gemara talks about that in, where's it, Gemara? It's a Gemara in the Dorim, as far as I remember. Yeah? Masha'in came. Yeah, so therefore, to say Avram, to call him Avram, instead of Avraham, it's a bizoyon. You're embarrassing him. You're saying that he's not completely shoylet over what happened. With Yaakov Avinu, to say Yaakov Avinu had a struggle, and now he won over the struggle, yeah, that's not terrible. Why not? Because Yaakov Avinu is representing Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael constantly have this struggle. And Klal Yisrael on a daily basis are fighting against becoming Yaakov to becoming Yisrael. Each one of us is Yaakov at a certain time in the day when the Yitzhara fights him, and when you win over them, becoming Yisrael. It's not a historic fact that happened then. It is an ongoing fight that is going, moving every stage through our life, every stage during our day, to each and every one of us to become every stage from a Yaakov to Yisrael. And therefore Yaakov hasn't fallen apart. It's not, hasn't disappeared. It's there and alive and kicking. And we have to make sure it turns into Yisrael. Therefore there's no Issa. Okay? So let's understand over here, this is absolutely beautiful thought. Yaakov Avinu had a battle, and he won. How did he win? What were the tools of his battle? How did he win this battle? So let's focus back to the question we had beforehand, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to make you a bracha, I'll give you a bracha, goyim u'kahal goyim, you'll be fruitful, and your children will serve on bomois, your children will bring up korbanos on a bomber in a time when it's also to bring it up. What kind of bracha is that? It's a pillar. You should learn through Rashi. I mean, anyone with eyes in his head and a brain in his head should see what's going on over here. Is that a bracha? Did you see the Rashi there? You looked in the Rashi? Yeah? Mamish, it's very, very difficult to understand. So I want to show... Sorry? So I want to show you a beautiful, beautiful chinuch. This chinuch here, I've shown it to a few people this week, and they're blown away by this chinuch. It's a chinuch in mitzvah tof kuf yud. Yeah? It's a mitzvah the chinuch talks about of kisim, of doing magic. And he bases it on a posuk in a story of what happened with Eliyahu Novi with Nevi'e Habal. Yeah? Listen to this. The posuk says in Malachim Aleph, Yud Ches Lamad Aleph, he talks about the whole story over there where there's a showdown between Nevi'e Habal, the Nevi'im of the Baal of Avodah Zarah, and Eliyahu Novi on the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brought everyone together, he brought the Nevi'e Habal with plenty, Nebuch, thousands of Klal Yisrael who were serving the Baal, and he said, that's it. Either you serve one or the other, you can't serve both. You have to choose which one you belong to, which party you belong to. And you know this big showdown, and he says, you call out to your Nevi'im, and you know, call up Nevi'e Habal. If anything happens, then you've won, and I will win if anything happens. And he was yelling and shouting, and nothing happened. And he davened, and a fire came down from Shemayim and consumed the stones and the water and the behemoths and everything. Okay, that's a whole beautiful story there. Now the pasuk says, listen to this pasuk. The pasuk says in Perik in Malachim Perik Aleph Yud Ches Lamed Aleph, Vayikach Eliyo took Shtein Esrei Avonim. He took 12 stones, Kamisba Shiftei Bnei Yisrael, that the numbers of the Kamispa Shifted for Israel, according to numbers of Klal Yisrael, Asha Hoya Devar Hashem Elav Lemoir, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Yisrael Yeh Shemecho. Did you hear this pasuk? Kamispa Shifted Bnei Yaakov, that the Shvatim of Bnei Yaakov, Asha Hoya Devar Hashem Elav Lemoir, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Yisrael Yeh Shemecho. What's the pasuk doing over here? Introducing us to who Yaakov is? Eliyahu took 12 stones, according to Shvatim of Bnei Yaakov. Ah, I know who Bnei Yaakov is. He's the one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, that your name is changed to Yisrael. Nowhere else does a Novi say such a long description of Yaakov, whose name changed to Yisrael. Why is that necessary here? What's so important in the story? Says the Chinuch, in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Yud, He said, I'm going to be Makatz over here. He said, every single one of the Ovis was called Yisrael. Did you know that? Not only Yaakov was called Yisrael. For example, the Pasuk says, Yitzchok was called Yisrael. Shema Eile b'nei Yisrael haboi mitzraimo Yaakov avonov. These are, do you hear that? Eile b'nei Yisrael, these are children of Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov avonov. So who are we referring to? Eile b'nei Yisrael, Yaakov. Who's b'nei Yisrael? Yitzchok was called Yisrael, right? By Avram it says, Umoishav b'nei Yisrael. It's referring to Avram. Okay, as Medrash brings down. Avram was called Yisrael, Yitzchok was called Yisrael, and Yaakov was called Yisrael. What's the idea of Yisrael? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. This is so powerful. Says Eliyahu Hanavi, what are you doing, Klal Yisrael? You're serving with Nevi'ah Habal. You're serving Koichos. You're serving the sun. You're serving, even if you're serving Malachim. Do you know who you are? You are Yisrael. What's Pshat Yisrael? He said Yisrael has a power to win over. He said over here, why are you serving the Koichos Mazolos? Umanichan avodah so Odon Hashem and leaving Odon Hashem. Asher beyodo levato kol pulas haKoichos. You are Soros. Veischavon lahoyrusem hamaylo shlehem. Sha'af heim beyoisem bnei Yisrael. Gam heim sorim asorim alo. What he's saying over here is to Klal Yisrael. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You are part of Klal Yisrael. You are Yisrael. What is Yisrael? Yisrael has a power to win over any single koyach in the world. He can win over Malachim. He can win over Mazolis. He can win over any power in the world. There's nothing more powerful in the world than Yisrael. Obviously, besides Rabbeinu Shlalom. And you are lowering yourself to serve that. Rav Chaim needs to say, not in this context, Rav Chaim needs to say, there was once a Yid who's never travelled. He never travelled. And he bought himself a first-class ticket on a train. He never doesn't have a different class. He bought himself a first-class ticket. And there's a train where there's a whole train full of bumbling, you know, commoners going on the train. Right? And they're travelling there. As a conductor comes around to check their tickets, yeah, they're all dashed underneath the seat of in a third class. So he doesn't know what's going on. First time he's been on a train, he thinks, maybe there's bombing going on, who knows? So he dashes under the seat of a third class, hoping, you know, that everyone else, that, you know, everything will be okay. The conductor passes by, and one after the other, he pulls him out. What are you doing over here? He pulls this guy out, and he says, oh, this, shame on you, hiding under a bench in a third class, show me your ticket. So he shows him his ticket, and he's got a first class ticket, in a first class cabin. He said, what are you doing over here, you crazy? You're in a third class carriage under the bench. You're supposed to be sitting there in your armchair sipping champagne in a first class. Get out there. What are you doing here? So Eliyahu HaNavi is saying to Klal Yisrael, V'yikach Eliyahu Shtem Esrei Avoni, taking 12 Avonim, K'mispa Shiftei Bnei Yaakov, L'Shvatim Bnei Yaakov, Asher Hoyo Dvar Hashem Erev Leimo Yisrael Yeshemecho. Do you know who you are, Bnei Yaakov? You are children of Yisrael. Yisrael is a power to win over anything in the world. Nothing is more powerful, nothing is more beautiful than Yisrael. And he's serving Nevi'ah Habal. It's pasnished. It's not for you. That was a Teichocha. Says Reb Chaim Kaufman, this is Peshat in the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your name great. You're called Yisrael from now on. And you're Goyim Ukahal Goyim. And even in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, your children will be serving Nevi'ah Habal. I will invoke your name to bring them back. I will show them through Eliyahu HaNavi who you are, Yaakov Avinu, how high you've raised the bar. Your children will become inspired by your capability of fighting over evil. That's what I'm telling you now, Yaakov Avinu. You have put Klal Yisrael in a whole different league. You put them in a power that they're able to win over Malachim. And later on, when Klal Yisrael stoop to levels where they don't understand that, I'll inspire them to come back to their roots, come back to the Shorash and become a Yaakov Avinu that's able to win and become a Yisrael. That is a power of a Jew. A Jew has to understand his self-worth, has to understand that he's different, to understand he's much, much, much better. And that is what Eliyahu HaNavi was told to Klal Yisrael. Reb Chaim used to say, there's a story in he said in a different in a safe, he brings a Mishra Shemen, but I've heard this story live. He said there was once a story where there was a Russian Jew who came from many, many years in Russia. He came as an older man in his 60s. He came to live in Yerushalayim. And he used to come to a shir that took place in Moshe Orem. There's a Daf Yomi shir that took place in Moshe Orem. But it was like a long Daf Yomi shir. It was really, you know, it was on a very, very high level. And there's people there who'd be learning yeshivas for many years. You had Balabatan there and you had to learn. And you had this Russian guy stuck like a sore thumb. No, he didn't have to learn. He just sat there with the Gemara, you know, always looking out. He could see clearly he wasn't following. One day it was snowing. And Reb Chaim says, you know, the craziest thing is as soon as Yishalmim see snow, it's like, that's the end of the world. You know, the end of the world is nigh. You know, snow, that's it, everyone stays inside. And this guy seen plenty of snow in his life. You know, he's stuck it out in Siberia. A couple of millimeters of snow doesn't stop him. So he goes across and he goes to the shir. And he's the only person sitting in the shir. Only guy there. So his Magid Shir says to him, I've got to ask you. I want to ask this question for a long time. I didn't want to embarrass you in shir. But I want to ask you, why do you bother coming to my shir? What's the point? I can see you're not holding. You don't understand what's going on. You know, why do you waste your time? I mean, I don't mind saying, I'm very happy to see you by all means, but why did you come? So he said, I've got to tell you something. I was enlisted in the Russian army. And for the first 3 months, when we were called out, we had to learn Russian history and learn all the ins and outs of the royal family. Tsar Nikolai, and then his wife, and his children, and his grandfather. For 3 months, we had to learn that. So, no, Baruch Hashem, I got Jewish cop. It took me a couple of days. But, you know, but for those Russian drunkards, it took them that time. And it took, for the first 3 months, we had to learn it. So I went to the commander, and I said to him, we're wasting time over here. We have a motherland to protect. We have Russia that's being attacked on all sides. It was the First World War, I don't know exactly when it was. Why are you wasting our time learning this stuff? So he said, we're not wasting our time at all. Before you put your life in danger, before you're going out to stick your neck out, you have to know why and to whom you're being loyal to. Why is it worth fighting? Why is it worth fighting? I'm sticking there, I'm having terrible rations, I'm not getting paid well, I'm living in a cold, I'm living in a hot. What am I doing it for? You should just know there's a king and there's a queen and there's a family, and all this family are relying on you to save them and their kingdom. And that is going to build within you loyalty, and therefore it's worth a fight. And for 3 months I sat around there. He said, I came to Yosef's role. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to keep mitzvahs. It's a whole different life. I'm fighting a whole new war. Shabbos. How do I keep Shabbos? It's a whole new war. And I realized that in order for me to be successful in my fight, I've got to know who the royal family are. And therefore, every day I come to Shir and I hear about Abai and Rava. I hear about Reb Zera, I hear about Reb Chista, I hear about Reb Yehuda, I hear about Reb Akiva. I'm learning to know the royal family. I'm knowing to know who it's worthwhile fighting for. It's worthwhile knowing, sitting in your shir all this time, just to know that is a big royal family, that when I'm moisa nefesh and I'm keeping Shabbos, I'm doing it for the sake of our legacy, the sake of our transmission, sake of our Messiah that we have in this royal family. That's why I'm doing it. A Jew has to know before he's willing to go and win over the Yetzirah inside him, he's got to know why the fight is worthwhile. And the answer is, you have to know who you are. You're part of the royal family. You're part of all this. That is what the fight's all about. And that is why. That's why the Pasuk says over here, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu the bracha that in the future, Klal Yisrael will come back to the levels Yaakov Avinu was. But Anova is a wonderful midah. There's no doubt Anova is a wonderful midah. Gaiva is a terrible midah. There's no doubt, Gaiva is a terrible midah. But when Gaiva is used for the right thing, Jewish pride, I can't marry out because I'm Jewish. Yes, we are proud to be Jewish. And therefore, that is fantastic. And let me go beautiful, beautiful vot. Listen to this. But you say, if there's any vot, a Chassidish vot worth saying over, it's this one over here. Unbelievable vot. This is a vot that the Beis Yisrael said over in the name of his grandfather, Sfas Emes, who said the name of his grandfather, Chedusha Horim. Look inside the Pasuk. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. Yaakov Avinu gives over all the different groups of animals, different shluchim. Vayitzav Esav Rishon Lemo, and he commanded the first one, saying, Ki yifgoshcha Esav Ochi, when my brother Esav meets you, Usheilcha Lemo, and he asks you, saying, Lemiato, who are you? Va'ona Seilech, and where are you going? Lemi Eil Lefnecha, who are those in front of you? Va'martun, you should say, La'avdecha Le'yakov Mincha Hishlucha, it's to my, the Ebed Yaakov, and it's a Mincha Hishlucha, it's a Mincha that I'm sending, La'adoyni Le'esav, to my master Esav. Says the Chiddush Harim, again, this is Yaakov sending a message of how to win over Esav, how to win over the Yetzer Hara. So he said, look in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki yifgoshcha Esav Ochi, when my brother Esav, when the Yetzer Hara, comes to ask you, Usheilcha Lemo, and he asks you, who are you? Yeah? So he said, listen to this. Lemi ato refers to what? Ma'ain boso. The Mishnah says, Ma'ain boso, lo'on ato hoylech, lifnei mi ato losin nitin min v'cheshboin. So he says, normally, listen to this, normally, it's a wonderful thing to ask these questions. Listen to this, without Esav. Yeah, normally. One should always ask oneself, yeah, Ma'ain boso, where are we coming from? Lo'on ato hoylech, where are we going? And if, and yeah, and lo'on ato hoylech, mi el lefnecho, yeah, who's in front of you? So he says, that's one if we ask this question. But Esav asked this question, Lemiato, who are you? What does that mean? La'onato hoylech. So again, Lemiato is referring to Esav asking, Lemiato, who are you? That's referring to what? Ma'on basa, where are you coming from? Va'onos seylech, where are you going? That is referring to La'onato hoylech. Yeah? Ulemi eile lefanecho is referring to. Yeah? Yeah? That for ourselves, do you understand? That for ourselves, when we ask this question, is fine. When Esav asks this question, he's asking it cynically. Who are you? You're a Jew. What kind of Jew are you? Right? You know, who are you? Where are you going? Do you think you're doing something in life? Do me a favor. You're wasting your time. You know what's going to be at the end of the day? Din v'cheshbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you for every small thing. He's going to rip you apart. Terrible. Says Yaakov Avinu, when we ask the questions to ourselves, that's fine. But when Esav asks the questions to you, when Esav is asking these questions, and he tries to make you miyayish, and he tries to take away all your hope, who are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? What should we say to him? And we should say to him, V'marto le'avdecho le'Yaakov, and he should say that we're an eved. Yaakov is an eved to Rabbeinu Shleilom. Mincha hi shlucha la'adoini le'Esav. It is a mincha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves what we do like a mincha hi shlucha. Like a mincha that has re'ach nichreach as a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When what? When it's le'Esav. When we are fighting against Esav. Any small victory that we have against Esav is a mincha hi shlucha. It is a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, what's Peshat over here? Again, let's understand this carefully. Yeah? When we ask the questions for ourselves, that's great. Because the question is, who are you? These questions, that's to get rid of our gaiva. When Esav asks these questions, yeah, that's not only to get rid of our gaiva, he's trying to make us miyuash, he's trying to make us lose hope. Then you've got to pick up the Jew, the proud Jew inside you. And you should say to him, Avdecho le'Yaakov mincha hishlucha. We are in mincha hishlucha la'Hashem. What we are doing is everything is valid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we fight against you, Esav, when we fight against Yetzer Hara. Says Peshat in that, listen to this, unbelievable Peshat, says the Satmar Rav, if you look in the Mishnah, there's a very strange extra few words in the Mishnah. Listen to this. The Mishnah says, listen to this, you learn this Mishnah so differently now. The Mishnah says like this, Histaka b'shleish advarim, yeah. Histaka b'shleish advarim. Ve'ain ataboli de'avera. We won't come towards avera. Dai ma'am boso. Know where you're coming from. Olan atoheleich. Where you're going to? Yeah. V'lifnei mi atos and listen to v'cheshbon. Okay. Then carrot on the Mishnah. Dai ma'am boso. Know where you're coming from. Mitipos rucha. Didn't come from a putrid drop. Yeah. Olan atoheleich. Where you're going? The mokin rim of v'saleil. To a place of you're going to be maggot meat. Right? Ask the Satmar Rav, Why the double loshen? The Mishnah could have just said, "Histakel b'shleisha devarim, v'netav boli de'avera, ma'ayim boso mitipas rucho." Yeah. Why this double loshen? Look at those three things and explains what those three things are, and then it goes to explaining what the three things are again, the questions and the answers. Get the kasha? Says the Satmarov, because there's two stages in this Mishnah. There's a stage where a person has to understand working from the opposite extreme from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes is when we work with ourselves, we're working on our gaiva, so then we start bringing our anova into it. When Esav starts asking us, then we bring the gaiva back into it. Here says Satmarov, we're doing exactly the opposite. The Satmarov says, you know how a person is to keep away from avera? Histakel b'shleisha devarim, look into three things, you won't come to an avera. Ma'ayim basa, where have you come? Where's the Jew come from? From Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. From Tachas, underneath the Kisah HaKovod. Unbelievable, we come from an amazing place. Where are you going? We're going, Be'ez Hashem, to Tachas Kamfei Hashchina. We're going to be sitting in Gan Eden, learning with Rabbeinu Shloim, Torah. Look where you're going. Well, if Nehemiah to us living in the Cheshbon, you know, Rabbeinu Shloim loves every single mitzvah we do. Do you know how loved you are? You know what it means to be a Jew? But then Gaiva comes in, and Netzahar says, oh, you're wonderful, nothing to worry about. Says the Mishnah, if you then getting too much of that, then start the next set of lessons. Damayim boso, know where you're coming from. You know where you're coming from? From a tipas rucha, from putrid rock. Where are you going? Off from Ribbon Visaleel. Therefore, the first part of the Mishnah is talking about how to get ourselves proud and to build ourselves up, not to fall. And the next part of the Mishnah qualifies in case you overstepped your limit, then get yourself back into perspective and know where you're going. There's two parts of Yiddishkeit. There's a part of Yiddishkeit is understanding that every single Jew has a capacity and ability to become a Yaakov and to work himself up into the Yisrael, to overcome even Sorim, to overcome everybody. There's nothing greater than a Jew. But on the other hand, if a person oversteps his limit and becomes a Balgaiva, you know, it's terrible, that arrogant. Jews are Amnivcha, but that's Chas V'Shalom to be arrogant. Chas V'Shalom to show you Amnivcha when it means jumping in line in an airport because, a bunch of going. No, they need your Anova. And therefore, says Satmarov, there you have to step down and know that Ayin Basa is the derech of Anova, not derech of Gaiva. Just want to finish off with a beautiful vort from the Duben Magid. Duben Magid says, Gaiva is a terrible thing. Gaiva is a terrible thing. If Gaiva is so bad, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu give us Gaiva? People are born naturally with Gaiva. If it's such a terrible middle, why is it that a person born with Gaiva? So he says, Moshe Lamar Davadoyma, something obviously he's going to answer with. He said there was once a king who received as a gift an incredibly beautiful diamond. Incredibly beautiful diamond. It was a huge diamond. And he gave this diamond to his son to take and put in the safe. And the son was so enthralled by this huge, beautiful diamond that he took it and he dropped it out the window. And by mistake, obviously, there's a big scratch down in this diamond. Don't know how that worked, but there's a scratch in the diamond. And the king was devastated. The king was devastated that this scratch, this perfect diamond, now has a scratch. And he called in his various different jewelers and he tried to work out what to do with this scratch. So one jeweler thought, you know, one, the best idea would be to cut off the layer where the scratch is, to take it off, and then you have the deeper level of the diamond is perfect. The king wasn't happy with that. The king said, if you take it off, then the diamond's got smaller. That's not what I want. I want the same size diamond. Another one said, what you should do is, maybe you should cut it off on the side. No, again, the same problem. Until a Jew came along. And the Jew said, what you should do is, leave it to me, I'll deal with it. So the king says, are you sure? He says, I promise you, at the end of it, I'll deal with it. You'll be happier, you'll be fine. And the Jew takes it, and after a week, he comes back, and the king's delighted. What has he done? He took the diamond, and that line he made that as the beginning of a beautiful flower. He scratched into the diamond a beautiful flower, with that line becoming one of the lines of the flower. So if beforehand It was a very plain looking beautiful diamond. That was an astonishingly beautiful diamond with a beautiful design of a flower. Said of Dubna Magid, the Nimshal is Poshut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in the Shomer a perfect diamond, but we have Gaiva, and the Gaiva destroys us. So either we have one way of destroying the Gaiva, but that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use our Gaiva and to make our Gaiva beautiful. When a person is challenged with an Avera, a person challenged by his Yetzirah, then he has to use his Gaiva and say, me do this? No, it's pasnish, I can't do this, it just doesn't fit for me. And that is the secret of this week's parasha. The parasha is the idea of Yaakov fighting Esav and winning. Klal Yisrael have this power to win. How do we win? With knowing Ki Sarisa Lekim V'Tuchal, that we can win over anything if we just keep our pride. It has to be in check. We can't, Chas V'Shalom, become arrogant through this, that we have the Anova. But when Esav approaches us, says, who are you? No, Mincha Hishlucha, every fight we win is a challenge, is a victory, and we have to be proud of that, and Ez Hashem, that will propel us to be greater and greater until we and our own lives can become Yisrael.